get your Bible. Get ready to turn to a whole lot of places. How many of you have ever gone through periods in your life, maybe not right now, but in the past, times where you just wondered if you were really born again? Anybody been there? Stuff's happening. I don't know what it would be, but you just go through this. I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I don't even know where I stand with God anymore. And how many of you have prayed that sinner's prayer a number of times in your life? Just to be sure. Just to be sure. Yesterday was a bad day, so today I'm going to pray it again, just to be sure. You know, the whole aspect of being assured of your salvation, it shouldn't be as complicated as what it really is. But let's face it, we go through those times and we question. There's a really good chance that if no one in this room is going through a time like that, you might in the future, but sooner or later, you're probably going to encounter somebody who is going through a time like that. And it's sometimes very difficult to minister to a person who's going through that kind of a period, because it's not just a matter of wondering if you're really born again, because when you begin to feel that and think that, you're also going through a time of depression. It's inevitable. The two go hand in hand. So you're dealing with two things, a person going through depression, and then also questioning whether or not they really are born again. They're not questioning the existence of God. They're just questioning whether or not they're really saved. So what is the assurance of our salvation? What is it that we can look to? How do we know that we're really born again? How? Now, some folks are going to tell you that you know you're really born again if you speak in tongues. Well, with all due respect, that's a lie from hell. Because Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said he must be born again. He didn't say, Nicodemus, if you can't Shandai, then you can't make it. No, you must be born again. So for us as Christians, what is the assurance that we're born again? Because every one of us in here, I believe, acknowledge that we've gone through those times of wondering. All right, now let me ask you another question. What changed that? When you went through that time of wondering, am I really born again, what happened that changed your feelings about your salvation? What took place? I can tell you what it probably was without knowing the specifics. You woke up in a good mood. That's all it was. You woke up in a better mood. Or something happened during the day that put you in a better mood. And then all of a sudden you're born again. Until the next time. When the dog chews up the slippers and the TV won't work and the computer crashes. All of a sudden you're not saved anymore. Especially after what you said. Been there, done that, haven't we? So what happened that caused you to begin to think you were born again? You felt better about yourself. Well, what's the real assurance that we have? Jesus said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you, okay? Well, that makes us feel really good, doesn't it? Those times when we're down in the dumps. Those times when we don't feel born again. If he said he'd never leave me and never forsake me, then where is he? Because right now I don't feel him. Okay. So what's the assurance of your salvation? There are two things primarily that we have which are the assurance of our salvation. We're going to start with those things and then move forward. First, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 119. Now, this message today, quite frankly, it might not apply to anybody who's in this room because you might not be going through these feelings. But this message is going to help prepare you for times when maybe you do go through this, or when you encounter somebody who's struggling with these feelings of, I'm not born again anymore, I lost my salvation. Psalm 119, look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And what that means is that since we know God's word came from him and he is in heaven, then God's word, this Bible, originated in the mind of God or originated in heaven. Okay? Now he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means it's established, it's settled, it's not going to change. Ever. You say what you want, believe what you want, feel how you want. But God's word is never going to change. It is established forever and ever and ever. Now look over in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Mark 13, verse 31. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So another way to think of that is this. Everything that you see in the natural can vaporize in an instant, but God's word is going to stand. God's word will still be there. That's because God's word is not based upon the things in the natural. God's word is based upon who God is. So your circumstances can stink, but God's word isn't based on your circumstances. God's word is based upon who God is. And Jesus says heaven and earth can pass away. Everything in the natural can pass and be gone, be destroyed, be dissolved, just disappear. But my word is not going to change. Now look at another place. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, all the promises that we have in God's word, these promises are God's word. They are settled in heaven. They will not pass away. And they are designed to bring glory unto God. How can they bring glory unto God? Because they'll never fail. Because they'll never pass away. They're always there. They're settled. They're established. No matter what we do, how we act, no matter what other people do, no matter how other people act, the bottom line is, all of God's promises are designed to bring glory unto him. To bring glory and to bring that glory into our lives. Bring glory unto him and to bring that glory into our lives. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. That means you can bank on it, as they say. In fact, banks are more unstable than God's word. If banks were stable, the interest rates wouldn't fluctuate, dear heart. God doesn't fluctuate. There's no shadow of turning in him. The Bible says so. So what's the first assurance of our salvation? The first assurance of our salvation is the fact that God's word is not going to change. Ever. Period. And all the promises of God are yea and amen. They are confirmed to us through Jesus Christ. They bring glory to him. His word is never going to pass. Ever. It will be fulfilled, but it will not pass. Okay? So that's the first assurance that we have. We'll expand on that in just a moment. That's the first assurance that we have, is that God's word is forever. But now, here's the other assurance. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now in this verse, You'll notice where it says that by two immutable things in which, in the next two words, it was. Okay? Those are in italics. Do you see that? Now, if in the Bible you're looking at, those two words are not in italics, quite frankly, I'd get another Bible. Because those two words, not in italics, establish a truth that does not exist. I'll explain. That by two immutable things in which past tense, impossible for God to lie. Remove those two words, it was. And here's what it says. That by two immutable things in which impossible for God to lie. Meaning, it always was, always is, and always will be impossible for God to lie. Not just it was impossible, because the statement it was impossible implies that maybe that's changed today. Now, I understand why they put that in here, in the context of everything that's written. It's to establish that at the time these events were taking place, God was not lying to the people He spoke to. But if you misread this, it can imply that maybe something has changed. Or if somebody has a doubting heart, doubting mind, they could interpret that to mean something has changed, that maybe God lies now. No, it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. Which, if you look over in Titus chapter 1, is further confirmed. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. What makes this a difficult thing for us to accept is the fact that we can. You can lie through your teeth. You know, all those times, husbands, you tell your wife, that dress looks great. Well, okay, maybe it does look great. People ask you, how's it going? You say everything's going fine. When it's not, you lied. But I understand, you don't want to sit there and rag on people about how bad your life is. Bottom line is, God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He can't. We don't understand that. Deity cannot lie. We're not deity. We are born again. We have His life and nature, but we're not deity. Deity, God can't lie. So, here's what we have in these two things. Number one, God's Word is forever. God's Word is permanent. God's Word is established. It's not going to change. That's our first assurance of salvation. The second assurance is the fact that God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Now, if we put these two together, here's what we have. If we go through God's Word, and we find any kind of a promise relative to our salvation, that means that promise is established for all eternity by a God who cannot lie, and it doesn't matter how we feel. Those two things are the assurances of our salvation. Nothing else. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church. Just because you come to church, that doesn't mean you're born again. There are a lot of people going to churches right now, sitting in church, right this very moment. They're not born again. They're going to churches that don't even tell them how to be born again. I mean, all these kind of things go on there. See, you can look at a lot of external things, but that is not the proof or the assurance that we're born again. There are a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they're not born again, but they're really nice people, and they're fun to be around. Well, just because they have a nice personality, that doesn't mean that they're Christians. The assurance that we have of our salvation has to be the fact that God has said it and He cannot lie. That, more than anything, is the assurance of our salvation. Okay, now let's walk through some things here on this. And because, again, maybe today you don't need this assurance, you don't need this encouraging. But sooner or later, you're going to encounter somebody that's really going through a tough time and they're starting to wonder whether or not they're born again. And you either need to repeat this kind of information to them, or you need to give them a copy of this tape, because I'm telling you, this is going to help people out. First off, turn to John chapter 3. God cannot lie, and His Word is forever. His Word is established. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God cannot lie, and His Word is established forever. God sent His Son. If you believe in His Son, if you have accepted His Son as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You have everlasting life. You are born again. But I don't feel everlasting life. It doesn't matter what you feel. Listen, what, you think I walk on some kind of a cloud and every day I wake up, I feel? Well, it's true, I do, but a lot of the things I feel, I'm not going to tell you from this pulpit. Listen, you know you might be in for a challenging day when 15 minutes after you get out of bed, you're ready for a nap. You just don't know what you want to do the rest of the day. Sure, we all feel, but God's Word is what establishes our salvation. God's Word is the assurance. And God says right here, listen, I sent my Son for you. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you believe in Him, then guess what? I have given to you eternal life so that you won't perish in your sins. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Everybody uses these verses to get someone saved, don't they? But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of us applied that verse to our lives when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Did you mean it? I can remember over the years going through those times of doubt and wondering, am I really born again? And going to God and praying and saying, but God, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, kind of reference it. And I meant it. I mean, I really did mean it when I prayed it. But I'm going to pray it again, and this time I'm going to mean it. You know what I mean, God? Oh, Jesus, I confess you. And I'm not the only one, am I? Well, I meant it last time, but this time I really mean it. And then the next time I'll mean it even more. Let me tell you something. God's Word is not going to change, and He cannot lie. And He says that if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you call upon Him to be your Lord and Savior, you are born again. You have the life of God on the inside of you. This is your assurance. You meant it when you prayed it. There are a lot of people can say the words, but you know they don't mean it. There are a lot of people that say the words just to get you off their back. But when you prayed it, and when you meant it, you were born again. You have that assurance of your salvation. This is God's Word, and He can't lie. Look at another place. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. This coming from the man who said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And Jesus is telling you right there, do you believe in God? Do you believe in me? Have you accepted me as your Lord and Savior? Then guess what? You have passed from death into life. You are born again. You have my life in you. He can't lie. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own works, speak my own words. I came to do the works of Him that sent me and speak the words that He tells me to speak. God says, Son, I want you to tell them that if they'll believe in me and accept you, they'll pass from death unto life. When you Romans 10, 9 and 10 to yourself and you meant it, guess what? You pass from death to life and you sit there right now with God's life on the inside of you. You have it. It is yours. Look at another passage. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How simple can it be? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Do you believe on Jesus? Yes, I do. Did you pray and accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I did. Did you mean it? Yes, I did. Then guess what? You have everlasting life. You're born again with the life of God on the inside of you. Yeah, but I woke up this morning and things didn't go the way they were supposed to. And what? Let me ask you something. Do you think that every day Jesus woke up, everything went exactly the way that He hoped? I mean, do you really think that He woke up one morning and said, boy, hallelujah, Father, today I get crucified. Trust me. There were times in Jesus' life where things didn't go exactly the way that he had wanted them to go. He'd stand up and preach and tell the truth, and people want to kill him, drag him out of the church, want to throw him down a hill, stone him. You know, those things happen. Some people will tell you, you don't have a very effective ministry, do you? Jesus didn't always have a sunshine and roses day in the natural. But he knew his Father, see? Spiritually speaking, he knew who he was. And it was that kind of confidence that got him into trouble, because other people couldn't handle it, that somebody knew who they were in God. And what he's trying to do here in the Word is get us to the place of having that exact same confidence. The confidence of Christ. The confidence of knowing that no matter what is going on around us, no matter who is doing what to us, I am born again. No matter what my day is like, no matter how lousy I feel about me and everything else, I am born again. I have the life of God on the inside of me. Look over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, look what it says. Wherefore, as by one man, this is speaking of Adam, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's you and me. But now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So yeah, you were Romans 5:12. But the moment that you, Romans 10:9, intend yourself, and you called upon the name of Jesus, and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you pass from the Adam death into the Christ life. And you were born again. And this is the assurance that you have, that yeah, I was born into sin, and I had a sin nature, and there was nothing I could do, and I was condemned to death, because I was a descendant of Adam. But the day came when I called upon Jesus Christ, and I trusted in Him, His blood, to cleanse me. I put my faith in Him. I called upon Him. And I meant it. With everything that was in me, I meant it as much as I knew how to mean it. And because of that, I have passed from Adam death into Christ life, and I am born again. I have the life of God on the inside of me. Look over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, or through the patience of God. In other words, what this is saying is, look, you were justified freely by His grace. You were justified freely by His grace. How did you do that? You called upon the name of Jesus to be born again. That grace was like floating over your head. It was there. And the moment that by faith you stretched up your spiritual hand, so to speak, and grabbed a hold of that grace and called upon the name of Jesus, that's when God's life began to flow into you. And it purged you of that old sin nature. You were born again, and God said, look, your sins have now been remitted, and I declare my righteousness in place for that old sin nature. You put your faith in me, and because I cannot lie, I have made a declaration that anybody who calls on the name of my Son Jesus Christ shall be born again. I am bound by my word. Do you understand? I have to save you. I don't have a choice in the matter. In the natural, you may have been so unworthy of being saved according to man's standards because of all the things that you've done in your life, but you don't understand. I'm God, I am love, and I have no choice but to save you because you call on my Son. And it isn't a matter of the fact that I even want a choice. I already exercised my choice, and that was to send my Son for your sins so you could be born again. My goal is for you to know me. And when you put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, it enables me to act and fulfill in you my desire, and that is to cause you to pass from death unto life. This is the assurance of your salvation. I, God, have worked the work by grace to cause your sins to be remitted and removed from you. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Goes right along with this, what we read over there in Romans, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God's grace is what's caused you to be saved, and it was your faith that activated that grace. Because when you did Romans 10, 9, and 10, and you called upon the name of Jesus Christ, what else did you do? What else did you do? Did you kill an animal? Did you bring money? Well, what else did you do? There was nothing else you could do. Nothing. All you knew to do was to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. That's all you knew. And you did by faith. You acted upon God's word that cannot change. And you called upon Jesus Christ to be born again. And He tells you right here, by grace are you saved through faith. It's nothing that you did. Nothing. Absolutely nothing that you did. He did it because He loves you and He wants you to be born again. And He says, you can't boast about this other than the fact that you put your faith in Jesus. But if there wasn't a Jesus to put faith in, you'd still be lost. Amen? And so He's made it possible. Here's your assurance of faith. But I don't feel like I did enough to be born again. For by grace are you saved through faith. Yeah, but I don't feel like, hey, for by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody you've never met. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody who died for you 2,000 years ago. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Your faith, your belief in Him. That is what got you saved. That is what caused you to pass from death unto life. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yeah, but I don't feel new. So, what does the word that will never fail, spoken by a God who can't lie, have to say? It says, you're new. Yeah, but you're new. Yeah, but you're new. You're new. By faith, you called on Jesus. And when you did, He made you new. You're a new person. The sins have been remitted and God has established His righteousness in you. You have God's life. You have God's nature. You are a child of God. You are born again. You have salvation. It's yours. It's all yours. But I don't feel like I have salvation. Doesn't matter. It's yours. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's yours. See, go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Let me show you something here. 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. This isn't simply a matter of somebody saying, okay, yeah, well, Jesus is God's Son. I mean, a lot of people say that, but they're not confessing him. In other words, this is a variation of Romans 10, 9, and 10. Believe in Jesus. Believe in God that He's raised from the dead and receiving Him into your life. He says right here, it doesn't matter, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, whoever confesses Him as being raised from the dead, confesses Him as being Savior, receives Him into your life, whoever does this, God dwells in him and he in God. God's life dwells in you, and our lives are hid with Christ in God. God dwells in you by virtue of His life. In other words, a connection has been established between the two of you, a connection of His life. This is an assurance. Did you believe in Jesus? Absolutely. Did you call? I meant it. Did you pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? Yes, I did. And you meant it? Yes, I did. And guess what? This is you. You are 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. This is you. You're born again. This is the assurance of your salvation. I'm not the assurance of your salvation. People around you aren't the assurance of your salvation. Being rich isn't the assurance of your salvation. The assurance of your salvation is the fact that God cannot lie, and He has given His word to you that will never pass away. And He says, if you call on my Son Jesus Christ to be born again, you will be born again, and that is not going to change. No matter how you feel about yourself. My word is the assurance and the guarantee. Continuing here in 1 John chapter 4, look over. Or in chapter 5. We'll turn over to chapter 5. Now look in verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. Now let's stop right there. If we receive the witness of men. Now, relative to this sermon, what would be the witness of men? Somebody standing up and telling you that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not born again. That's the witness of men. Somebody telling you that if you don't come to church every time the door is open, you're not born again. That's the witness of men. Because at that point, you are basing your feelings and assurance of salvation on what man tells you is your salvation, not what God has said. And He says, listen, I'm going to paraphrase here. It doesn't matter what the witness, testimony, or teaching of men is concerning the assurance of your salvation. The testimony of God is even greater. It far supersedes that. What is the testimony of God? It's all these verses that we've looked at here. John 3:16, God sent His Son, confess Him, everlasting life. Romans 10:9-10. I mean, all these things that we've looked at. You believed in Jesus. You called on Jesus. This is the testimony of God. You know, sometimes when there's a court trial and a person can't make it, then what they do is they have that person give a testimony in written form, and then that written testimony is presented as evidence in the court trial. All right? Now, God's not here. Do you see Him? He's not here. But you know what? We have this affidavit. We have this. This is God's written testimony. And it's not sealed by a notary republic. It's sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this word isn't going to pass away. No matter what you believe, no matter what somebody teaches or thinks, this is the testimony of God. This is His witness to us that we are born again. This is the assurance of our salvation. And if we continue on in the very next verse, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's like God saying, how much more plain do I have to make it to you? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It is so plain and so simple here. It is so elementary. Did you call upon the name of Jesus? Yes, I did. Did you want to be born again when you called upon the name of Jesus? Yes, I did. Did you want to be saved? Yes, I did. Did you mean it when you called? Yes, I did. Then guess what? He that hath the Son hath life. You have the Son and you have that life. This is the assurance of your salvation. And in the next verse He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says, look, this is why I'm writing this. Because I can't lie. And I want you to know that you have eternal life. You have my life in you. You called upon my Son. Yeah, but God, it's like sometimes. Listen, born again isn't about the condition of our feelings. Born again is about the condition of our heart. Because your feelings are not always going to feel born again day after day. Born again is not about the condition of your feelings, it's about the condition of your heart. And when you call upon the name of Jesus, the condition of your heart changes. Regardless of your feelings, you are born again. This is the assurance of your salvation. Some people look at this whole thing from a very skewed perspective. Born again is not grace to sin. Born again is deliverance to live. Born again is not grace to sin. Born again is deliverance to sin. Look over in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul addresses this. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Or continue to live? How can we justify continuing to choose to live any longer therein? In verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. In other words, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ is the moment that you got delivered from the power of sin. It's the moment that God's life was infused into you. And you have that righteous life in you. So now you don't have to live like the devil. Now it's not grace to sin. It's the ability to live free from it. This is where a lot of Christians get kind of messed up. They think that, you know, God's just going to be there. Let me show you. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. Because somebody could say, yeah, but you know, Brother Martin, I was just really down in the dumps. And man, I'll tell you, Pastor, I made a dumb choice. I mean, I did something stupid. I sinned. You know, you can't call it a mistake. I made a mistake. No, you didn't. Because according to what we just read, you have the choice to yield to one thing or another. It's just that your emotions were bombarding you so heavily at a given point in time that you chose to give in to sin. You see, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're born again. Sin can't force you to do anything. You're born again. God forbid that we should say that we don't have a choice to sin. Because we do have that choice. We're born again. We have the life of God in us. We have His life and His nature. We're free from the power of sin. But when the emotions bombard us, and we feel so overwhelmed by our circumstances, we sometimes make a wrong choice and we commit sin. Not because we have to, but because we just give in to all those feelings at that particular time. And then when we do that, it compounds everything. And then we start feeling like we're not born again anymore. Anybody been there? But look at this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's your assurance. But I've gone too far. As long as you're worried about it, you haven't gone too far. Yeah, but I just don't feel. It doesn't matter. What's He say? Confess it. Go to Him. Just, you know, tell Him. Just go to Him and say, look, and you can't say, well, God, I couldn't help it. Because you could help it. You know how you know you could help it? Because of the conviction you're feeling on the inside that you know you shouldn't have done it. So you go to Him and you say, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. And you tell Him you didn't mean to do it. Because in a way you didn't. But in a way you did. But in a way you didn't. God, I'm sorry. It's like I did it. And it's like I didn't want to do it, but I did it. Didn't mean to do it, but I did it. I'm sorry. You know, I confess it to you. Please, oh God, please forgive. Now, what does He say? If you confess, He's faithful and just. Remember, He can't lie. His word won't pass away. That means the moment you go to Him with a true heart of repentance and you mean it and you confess, He says, okay, forgiven, cleansed. Let's go on. Like the lady that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. You can do it. You can do it because you have God's life on the inside of you. See, this verse right here, this verse does not give you the ability or the freedom to pre-plan sin and forgiveness and repentance. In other words, it's like, well, you know, I mean, I can go do this because God said that if I confess and He has to forgive me, har, har, har. So you go out and you do it and you think you're fooling God. Listen, He sat up in heaven and He listened to you planning that thing the whole time. And when you come to Him and you confess, you don't mean it. because you had every intention on doing it anyway. It's just that now you're banking on this. This confession, it's not just saying, oh, I did it. There are a lot of people in court, they're caught for a crime, and they'll stand before the judge, and the only reason they confess it is so they can get a reduced sentence. They don't care. It doesn't make any difference to them whatsoever. But if it'll, you know, keep me at a, you know, 5 to 10 instead of a 25 to life, then I'll tell what do you want me to say? That I did it and I enjoyed it? Okay, I did it and I enjoyed it. Now, that is the truth. But if it gets me a reduced sentence, then fine. A lot of people look at this, Christians, as some kind of like fire insurance plan. Right here, 1 John 1:9. Well, I'm going to do it. I know I shouldn't. I know it's really not right. But I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, I can repent. I can confess. Trust me. You're just playing games with yourself. And you think God's going along. Have you forgotten who you're dealing with? And here's the thing that is just even more frustrating. He knew before the foundation of the world you were going to do this. He'd just been sitting around for about 6,000 years for you to do it. Listen, the assurance of your salvation is what God has said to you in His Word. If you do make a wrong choice and you sin, it doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. It means you have the opportunity to go to God and say, look, I blew it. And I confess this to you. This is the assurance that He's going to forgive you when you, from your heart, mean it, when you confess it and repent of it and want it to be made right before Him. This is your assurance of salvation. This is the assurance He's not going to hold it against you. He'll treat you better than a lot of Christians. He won't hold a grudge. He'll forgive you, and it'll be over. And when you go to Him 5 years from now, and you're still beating yourself over the head for what you did way back when, He's not holding that against you. How many times have we confessed the same sin over and over and over again? You know why we do that? It's because our feelings don't line up with His Word. Regardless of what you feel, regardless of what you're going through, the assurance of your salvation is what God has said to you in His Word. If you called upon the name of Jesus, you're born again. If you meant it, you're born again. If you trusted in Him, you're born again. You have God's life on the inside of you. Your life may not be the best life. There may be all kinds of things going on in your life, but those things don't change your standing with God. Those circumstances do not remove your salvation. God said, you call on me, and I've changed your life. Your sins are gone. My life is in you. My righteousness is in you. You may not feel like it all the time, but it's there. You're not supposed to continue in sin because you have my life in you that enables you to live differently now. Your salvation is the freedom to have a relationship with me that you never had before. The next time, and I hope it never happens for any of you, I mean this, but if you ever, ever go through another one of those down in the dumps emotional periods in your life to where you even start to wonder if you're even born again anymore, I just don't feel Jesus anymore. I just don't feel God anymore. I just don't know where He is when I need Him. I just don't understand. I just don't. You remember these two things. God's Word is never going to pass away. And God cannot lie. And what He has said about what you did when you called upon Jesus is still true today, just like it was way back when this book was first written. This is the assurance of your salvation. This right here, more than anything, more than the testimony of man, God's Word is the assurance of your salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't have to live in doubt, do we? Kind of makes you want to worship your Savior, doesn't it? Well, why don't you stand up and just begin to do that?